Welcome. Week number two of the series, Grow. We believe that all of us have a responsibility to give ourselves to the process of growing to become more like Jesus Christ. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles, the book of Ephesians, chapter number three. The book of Ephesians, chapter number three, a beautiful piece of scripture here that we're going to read. In fact, I say that quite often, but it's true. There's so many passages in God's Word that is just loaded. And this is one of those passages that is loaded with so much information. It would take me weeks literally to break it down. I'm going to give you just a few thoughts today that I hopefully will encourage you, strengthen you, and grow you in your faith today. Welcome to everyone who is watching online. Welcome to everyone in Guthrie, America, and welcome everyone in Oklahoma City. Let's dive into God's Word, Ephesians chapter number 3, verse number 16. It says this, I pray, it's the Apostle Paul praying for the church of Ephesus, that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Sometimes we rush through scriptures and there is a whole lot we just read. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong no matter what comes your way, no matter what happens in your life, no matter the troubles, no matter the trials, no matter the difficulties. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Father, thank you for your word. And may you just speak through me. I'm just dirt that you breathed upon. And God, everyone listen to me is just dirt that you breathed upon. And God, may we have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying today to your church in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. John Carey. Not the famous John Carey, although this guy's pretty famous too, as a member of our church for the last many years. Several years ago, matter of fact, about 5 years ago, we invited him to come to do a staff lunch. And so we took a little extra extended staff time, and he came in, he worked with the staff. John is a registered physical therapist. He consults individuals. He does a lot of He's done professional athletes, some famous ones that you would know. He does a lot of amateur athletes. He consults on strength and conditioning, with flexibility, with skeletal protection in your body. He does a lot of things like that, and he has a lot of certifications. He comes in and talks to us. One of the things that he knew in advance was I had some spinal issues. Matter of fact, for years, I've had troubles with my back. Matter of fact, for over 30 years, from the time I was a teenager. I have something called spondylolisthesis, which is a vertebrae, fifth vertebrae in my back, which is displaced and pushed forward. It would take a radical surgery to be able to deal with this, and so you kind of have to live with it. Now, I've got therapy that has been given to me over the years, but he isolated me in this time because we were working, he was telling the importance of your skeletal system and how that you need to protect your back. And he got me up on the table, and I laid there on my back, and he put a towel under my back, my lower part of my back, and he would actually wanted me to suck down with my gut, press down on the table, and keep me from pulling the towel out. And it was very painful to do it, and I was given everything I could, and he was trying to measure my core strength. And so he preaches core strength. He also talked about the necessity, specifically called me out after this time, of challenging me to deal with my back, to strengthen my core, to work on oscillating on my stomach muscles on a regular basis when I'm driving down the road, when I am sitting in a chair, working on good posture. Also challenged me to sleep at night because he said literally gravity will work reverse on my spine to pull it back into line if I learn to sleep a certain way. And so 5 years ago, I thought there was no way because I basically had always said I cannot sleep on my back. I have to sleep on my side. So I've slept on my side for 40 years plus. And now I'm reversing that and sleeping on my back. And he tells me how to do it and put the pillows. And so my excuse for having 10 pillows that I need to sleep is because of him. And so I have all these 10 pillows around me. Now I've got to the point some 5 years later that I actually do not even have to have all those pillows. I sleep on my back every night, all night. I never end up on my side. I've also gotten to where I sleep in one position and I'm not turning around. And now when I get up without pain. Now, there was a time that I thought my brain, that there was no way that my body would ever be able to change. And literally now, if you look in the mirror and you can see my skeletal system in regards to my back alignment has literally changed over 5 years, which is truly amazing. And it's basically a miracle. God used him to be able to help change me. And now, even when I stand in an experience like we are, back 5 years ago or 3 years ago or even before, it was constant pain to stand for 20 minutes during a time of worship. But now I can do it pain-free. Now, I've got pain in my knees still, but I've got the pain of my back that is gone. I would think at one time my brain would say there's no way my body could change. But my brain does not understand the capabilities of my body. Now, with that said, I want you to understand that your brain and body cannot comprehend what your spirit is capable of doing. The capacity inside of you is greater than you could ever imagine. God has placed within you, through the power of the Spirit, the ability to be able to do things and change things that you never, ever dreamed possible. Something to think about is this. Oftentimes, we allow limitations to happen in our life. And I want you to stop determining the lid of your, life, write this down, through the lens of your perceived limitations. Just like I had perceived limitations, it says, I'm going to have to live with this. Okay, I have for over 30 plus years. There are perceived limitations that we have, and they have put lids on our life, and then we got to realize, no, God is bigger than that. That your capacity for growth is larger than you can ever imagine. Let me say it this way. It's hard to see your potential in the middle of your problems. It is very hard to see your potential in the middle of your problems. When you're right smack dab in the middle of it, what you see is your pain. You see your problems. You don't see the potential that is there. And potential is unrecognized capacity. I was thinking about the story of Roger Bannister, who in 1954 broke the 4-minute mile. For 200 years, people had been trying to break the 4-minute mile, and it hadn't happened. In fact, most people said it was an impossibility. Most athletes said, no, we pushed ourselves to the as much as we can. There's absolutely no way. Scientists were even saying that physical man, the body, can only go so far. But Roger Bannister refused to believe those limitations and pressed through and broke the 4-minute mile with a 3-minute and 59-second mile. What's amazing, something that had been tried for 200 plus years that had never been reached, all of a sudden, the lid had been taken off. And within 49 days, the second person broke the 4-minute mile. And then it opened the floodgates for many more. And within a matter of just a couple of years, there was hundreds that were starting to do that. And today, a very, very strong, some of the best high school milers in America will be running sub 4-minute miles. And now the record is not at 4 minutes or just under. It's 17 seconds below the 4-minute mile, which was perceived to be impossible some many years ago. I want you to write this down. You can't grow. You can't make yourself grow, but you can prepare yourself to grow. When it comes to your capacity for growth, you cannot make yourself grow, but you can prepare yourself to grow. You can't make some things happen, but you can prepare yourself for some things to happen. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul one time was asked about the growth that was happening and the lives that are being changed all around him. And he said, it's not me. It's not me. Matter of fact, he said this. And this is so key because he identifies the process and what it takes to grow. Okay? First off is this. He says this in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Notice what he says. He said, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it what? Grow. Did you get that? He said, I planted the seed, Apollos watered the seed, but God. Now that's the key. Now that doesn't take our responsibility out, because I know a lot of people that sit back and say, if God wants me to have it, God will make it happen. No. No, there's a responsibility that you have. And he's saying that I planted the seed. Inside of you is a seed of possibility. Jesus says this, until a seed is planted in the ground and dies, it remains a seed. So there's a lot of potential in you. There's a lot of capacity in you that may remain a seed that is never actualized because you never put it in the ground to see its potential happen. And then Apollos watered it. Matter of fact, that's saying to me, others come alongside my possibility and help me reach even, come on, not just the people who know they're helping me out, even the people who are trying to hurt me. Even the people who are trying to distract from me, if I let myself, they can keep me from reaching my potential. But if you look at the other side of it, you can begin to see that, you know what? Even God maybe allowed them in my life to stretch me and to push me and to believe the impossible that is before me. Come on. And then the third person, you got yourself, you got others, and you got God. God. Ultimately, though, growth happens because God gives it. But God. Today, what I want you to do is I want you to stop and think about your capacity. And I'm about to give you 4 areas, okay, of your life that really all of us need to expand in. And if you expand these areas, if you grow these areas, you will grow your potential in Christ Jesus. Okay, if you grow in these areas, and God is going to help you grow in these areas. God is going to make it possible, okay? But you've got to plant your seed, and you've got to allow other people to help water that seed. But at the very end of this experience, I'm going to have you to stand on one of them. I don't want you to pick out 2 or 3 or 4, because all of us can probably identify more than one. But I want you to pick out the one area that you need to focus in on the most. And at the very end, I'm going to challenge you to stand when I call that one out. I'm going to call it out, and I want you to stand. So first off is this, when it comes to growing your capacity, okay, growing your capacity to grow, first thing is this, expand your community. Expand your community. Yesterday morning, I was thinking that I had a kind of a chill day, which is very rare to kind of relax around the house, and I received a phone call yesterday around 9 o'clock, and my Uncle Teddy, 53 years of age. He's about my size. He's in great shape, physical shape. Died suddenly in his sleep. 53. Don't know exactly what happened. Think maybe a heart attack, but he shows no signs. He died. 53 years of age. So my mom and dad call me. And my Uncle Teddy, I grew up around him. He's only a few years older than me. He actually lived with me and our family when he was in his teenage years. My mom, being 11 kids, he was the youngest of 11 children. Youngest of 11 kids. So my mom, who was fourth in the family, basically helped raise him as a child, because you get that many kids, you can't take care of everybody. So you kind of raise each other. And he died suddenly, so I ran down to Spiro, spent some time until yesterday evening, and drove back. But one thing I know about my mom and my dad, they have such a great community because they've invested in people. People rally around them. Now, does it take the pain away? No. But they have a support system. They have a strength there that is absolutely awesome. You see, so many times, when I talk about expanding your community, a lot of times I see people go through situations that are dark, difficult, tough in their life, And all of a sudden, they begin to blame other people for not being there for them. And the truth of the matter is they was never there for other people when they were going through those issues. And they feel this sense of like, why isn't somebody there for me? And the truth of the matter is they really weren't there for other. And let me tell you, and don't just limit your community to one or two. Expand your community. My mom and dad are just in the community. I'm talking the community physical sense, but their community of people and relationships is so huge. And so that's why people rally around them. That's why when I get there, just hours after it happened, there's food. I mean, there's everywhere in the house. And there's people that are keeping their distance, but are saying, hey, we're here, we're available, we're going to, and just loving on them. It makes a difference. Just something to think about is this. When it comes to believing, okay, oftentimes we get ourselves attached to the wrong community. You show me the people you're listening to, and I'll show you the person you're becoming. You show me the people you're listening to. Come on, we go back just a few weeks ago, the 12 spies. How about those 12 spies? The 12 spies come back. 10 of them have a negative report, and 2 of them have a what? A positive report. What happened? They chose to listen to the community of 10 instead of the community of 2. And millions of people were deceived and spent 40 years in the desert wandering around in heartache and pain instead of receiving the promises that God had in store for them. Come on, sometimes it's not the big community that you need to listen to. Sometimes it's a smaller community. But you need to be listening and surrounding yourself with the right people who will grow you and believe in you and will show, and not just speak what you want to hear, but will speak God's word and possibilities over your life. Surround yourself with those type of people. Your community will either constrict or encourage the call of God upon your life. Because every one of you have a call of God. And when I say call of God, I'm not talking about being a pastor, being an evangelist, or some type of spiritual leader where you draw some income from a church. I'm not talking about that. Every one of you have a call of God on your life. That call of God may be found in a marketplace, as an engineer, or as a teacher, or as a work-at-home mom. It may be as you run a janitorial service. It could be that you're president of a company. Whatever that may be, we all got a call of God in our life, and you want to surround yourself with a community of people that will encourage the call of God, not constrict the call of God in your life. This past week, or about 2 weeks ago, had some exciting news. Our pastor in Guthrie, America, come on. Hedy Coleman received an award for 2016 as, get this, go on, here's a picture of him, as the Guthrie Citizen of the Year. The Guthrie Citizen of the Year. I am so proud of him. I'm so proud of him. And I just found out this morning that he's the first African American ever to receive that award in the community of Guthrie. That didn't happen by chance. I remember whenever I called to first investigate about him years ago. Yeah, I investigated on him. When we're looking at hiring somebody, and he'd been attending our church for a while, and I loved him. I thought, man, this guy's awesome. I want to just find out. He grew up in Guthrie. I'm going to call up there and ask some people. I just called some people in the community. Random people in the community. Because I don't just go by the list that you give me to, you know, check out. I called random people. Every single person I called were like saying, oh, he's awesome. He's amazing. His family's incredible. He's an amazing. You know what he was doing? He was expanding his community over years. And the harvest that he's seeing now with the growth of the church up there is because of expanding the community over years. I get some questions to ask you. You want to write these down, okay? In 2017, who are you learning from? Who are you loving on? And who are you leading? First off, who are you learning from? I want you to expand your community of who you're learning from. I'm talking about even books, even podcasts, but actually going and sitting down with people and learning from people, okay? There's people in this community of believers that you can go and come alongside and learn from and to grow yourself in your specific area of influence or whatever it is. Who are you learning from? Who are you loving on? Who are you reaching out and just showing kindness and compassion and reaching out? Who are those that maybe they would They would not expect it from you. They wouldn't believe you would reach out, but you're going to go out of your way and reach out and show love to and expand your community and people that you maybe have not come across recently. You're going to expand your community. And then who are you leading? And some stop and say, leading? I'm not a leader. Yes, you are a leader. Come on, we got to take that lid off and stop looking ourselves less than what we are. No matter who you are, God created you to lead someone. Come on. If you're at home every day and you got children, you are leading children. You are leading people when you go out. You might not even realize the influence you have on other people, but you have influence either positively or negatively. Stop the lid, take it away, realize your capacity, and say, well, I'm going to expand my community. Secondly, challenge your character. You expand your community, but secondly is challenge your character. I have some pastors that I work closely with that are not a part of our church, that pastor other churches, great men, men of God, but we have accountability. And every single week, I get a list of every single thing that they, and the red flags that possibly could be from the computer searches and phone searches during the week. It's a weekly report that's done. Why do these pastors do it? Because they're weak? No, because they're smart. Why do they come alongside and become accountable to somebody else? Okay? Because they major have issues and struggles? No, because they realize their vulnerability and what could happen, so they choose to challenge their character every single week by making sure somebody else is in the know of what's happening in their life. We so oftentimes want to be quick to defend our character. Today, I want you to stop and let down the guard and challenge your character. And allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. If you're not careful, your capacity will take you where your character cannot keep you. Now, I've heard this said in regards to your talents and your gifts, but I just changed it up. Be careful, because your capacity, your abilities, your influence can take you where your character cannot keep you. And really, does it matter if you reach the top? If you come tumbling down? Does it matter if you reach the top if you lose your kids? Does it matter if you reach the top if you lose your marriage? Does it matter if you reach where you want to reach? And that life is not fulfilled? And there's no peace and there's no joy? It really doesn't matter. Character is the root, is the strength that will give you what you really need for fulfillment in life. Sometimes there's things that need to change when it comes to our character. I was thinking about this. 21 days of fasting and prayer we've just ended. Come on, that was incredible, wasn't it? 21 days of fasting and prayer, awesome. A couple of years ago, I made some changes on when we actually ended the 21 days of fasting and prayer, because 2 years ago I decided, okay, we're going to end the 21 days of fasting and prayer after the Sunday services of that last day, because officially it was going to be at midnight that night. But I noticed some problems with some of our staff on Monday after the fast had ended. They were showing up at work. They looked like they had a hangover. They were coming in for the 8:30 meetings, and they got blurry-eyed, and they kind of looked like they just got out of bed. And I started investigating what was going on, and I found out that there was a few of them that they were so wanting this fast to end. They were loyal to it. They were given to it. But they were waiting till midnight, and at midnight, they were showing up at IHOP. And they would go into IHOP and load themselves down with shortcakes and pancakes and waffles and all of those carbs and sugars and all that stuff, getting home at 2:00 in the morning and then showing up at work with a pancake hangover. And so I made a change for the betterment of our Monday morning meetings. So I said, we're going to end this thing after church on Sunday at noon. What needs to change in your life? Some questions to think about. Okay? What must change? What must change? In your life, what must change? Matter of fact, what is sin in your life in regards to your character that needs to change? What is the sin in your life that needs to be dealt with? What is it? Secondly is this. What should change? What should you change? This is the gray area of your life. What gray areas of your life that you flirt with, that you play with, that you kind of are on the fence with, that needs to change? What is it? I want you to stop and think about that right now. Because there's probably gray areas that you need to address, and you say, okay, I'm going to address that right now. And then last is, what could you change? And when I say what could you change, there are some character traits that you have that are good, positive character traits, but they need to go up another level. They need to be improved upon. You can use those things for greater influence if you will stop and identify those positive traits and say, you know what? I'm going to begin to be very intentional about using this to influence people for the good. So one, expand your community. Number two is what? Challenge your character. Number three is build your confidence. Number three is build your confidence. One of the things that people say to me quite often is that even when I specifically mention something about a lack of confidence, they say, Pastor, you seem so confident. You seem so confident. There's been times in my past, especially when it comes to speaking, that's really where it's been the issue the greatest. When it comes to preaching to you, where I have been so intimidated, I felt like having an emotional meltdown at times. There's times I just wanted to quit. I mean, there was many times that throwing up before I speak was a common thing. I don't do that much anymore. Okay, I've come through that over the last, just the last few years. But I still feel that a little bit at times. Now I just kind of vomit in my mouth a little bit and swallow it back down and just move on. You got to do what you got to do sometimes, right? That's what breath mints are for, okay? That's why I pop them. Confidence. My dad, I was very young, basically gave me a vehicle. I'm talking 15, 16 years of age. And I start driving these trucks loaded with cantaloupes or watermelons. I'm talking thousands of dollars worth. We'd had deliveries that we would take to large supermarkets, all the way from Muskogee over to Searcy, Little Rock area, up through Fayetteville, upwards to Joplin, Missouri, and we'd make these deliveries. But oftentimes we would not have everything sold, and I would have to make cold calls to stores along the way. I'd walk into supermarkets as a 15, 16-year-old young boy asking to speak to store managers who were most likely in their 40s, 50s, or 60s. And I would walk up to them and make a sale. I'd have to go in and investigate and figure out, okay, I knew basically the market value, what are they doing, what is their product like, and I would then go in and make the sale and pitch to them to be able to, because Dad would tell me, boys, don't come home till you get all that sold. I did this quite often. And I remember that sense of fear and intimidation going to do that. But there was also something that I gleaned from my dad, because my dad believed in me. I knew that my dad trusted me with a product and trusted me. He didn't do this. He believed that I could do it. And I would walk in with that sense of confidence and to be able to walk out with oftentimes a sale and sometimes not. But I'd go on to the next one, believing that my father believed in me. I want you to hear me on this. Your heavenly father believes in you. And he has given you everything you need for life and godliness. And everything you need is there. And oftentimes, we struggle in our confidence because we're looking to the wrong things. We're either trying to compare with somebody else. We're trying to measure up with somebody else. We're looking at our lack. We need to start looking at the resources of God in heaven and the calling of God he has on our life and realize that he has asked me to do this. And so if he's asked me to be a mom, if he's asked me to be a spouse, if he's asked me to do this job, if he's asked me to go to college again, if he's asked me to do that, then my God can take care of all of the issues surrounding that. If I'm facing sickness, my God can take care of it. If I'm facing financial issues, my God can take care of it. My father knew from the beginning who I would be and what position I'd be in, and my father can take care of me right now. Wow. So important. build your confidence. Let me give you just a few ways to build your confidence. First off is the Word of God. Secondly is the Spirit of God. And thirdly is the people of God. Let me give those again. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, the people of God. These are very simple. They're very straightforward, but oftentimes we don't turn to it. When it comes to building up your confidence, man, if you drive yourself in the Word of God, did you read in that passage where it says to sink your roots deep in the Word of God and grow in your faith? If you want to understand the unlimited potential that you have, find yourself in God's Word. And if you begin to find yourself in God's Word, you will begin to see what God has in store for you. The Word of God speaks and lets us know. But oftentimes, the only time we get God's word is when we come to hear Pastor Rodney on the weekends. And we say, yeah, that was a great message. And then we wonder why we struggle all during the week because we're not grounded in the Word of God. We haven't been hiding the Word of God in our heart. We haven't been memorizing the Word. We haven't been listening to the Word of God. There's so much you can do to build the Spirit of God. Man, you can be driving to the Holy Spirit is inside of you if you have chosen to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. And there's more of the Holy Spirit waiting for you. Open yourself up and ask the Holy Spirit. During the week, God, Holy Spirit, come. The Holy Spirit has been given to you as a comforter, as a friend. Spirit of God, fill me. And then the people of God. That's part of your community again. The people of God. The people of God. So, expand your community. Okay? Challenge your character. Thirdly is what? Help me out. Build your confidence. The fourth one is this. Increase your commitment. Increase your commitment. Number four, increase your commitment. Gavin, my son, didn't grow up playing competitive sports as far as football like some of the others were doing, flag football and all that stuff. He just went straight into pads when he was in junior high, straight into pads. And when he went straight into the pads, I was really busy at that time, and so Shannon actually needed to go buy all the stuff, and so she went and bought, which I felt like that was kind of a real low point in my manhood, in my life. I should be going to buy my uniform for my son, but my wife did it. And so she did. And I remember being at the church that day and seeing her get out of the car. And I see her, and then I see Gavin come. And Gavin has he's wearing into the church as a junior hire his helmet and shoulder pads and his whole uniform. And I'm like, oh my goodness, my son's wearing his uniform into the church. Okay? He wears it in, he wears it around, he wears it everywhere he goes. He goes to the supermarket wearing his helmet and shoulder pads. We get home that night, we go to bed, and Shannon looks at me and she says, well, Gavin loves football, doesn't he? I said, Shannon, he loves the idea of football. When he gets knocked on his butt and somebody runs over him that weighs twice as much as him, we'll find out how much he loves football. And Gavin actually did get knocked on his butt and got up, and he loved football. You see, all of us love the idea of commitment in marriage. We all love the idea of commitment to financial freedom. We all love the idea of commitment when it comes to work or growing a business or being an entrepreneur. We all love the idea of those things that God's calling us to do. But when we get knocked on our butt, how are you going to respond? That's where commitment, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where it really happens. That's where we really find out. You know, I was thinking about the North School of Ministry. Okay, you know what that is? We're not just diving into God's Word. We're teaching you leadership principles from some of the leading speakers and communicators and authors out there. And over this next year, we're going to give you a foundation to grow yourself as a leader in your business, in your home, with your kids, all of those things. It's about an increased commitment. And sometimes we just can't make a commitment to that. I cannot, if I can do one Tuesday night, you know, a week and go and read a book. And no. I said last week about it alarms me the percentage of high school graduates who never pick up a book again. And then the college graduates. We need to have a commitment to growing ourselves and amounting to all that God wants us to be. Come on. When it comes to financial commitment, we look at the story I told last week and say, oh, that was good for, you know, Pastor Sampson and his wife, and boy, they made that commitment. But we look and say, oh, that's too great for me. No, it's not too great. When it comes to tithing, no, it's not too great. It's your issue of commitment. And in 2017, are you going to grow, increase in commitment? We're starting the Financial Peace University. If you've never been a part of it, you need to be a part of it. If you've been and you need to go through it again, go through it again. Financial Peace University just kicked off. Come on, and that commitment to that and the principles that are given that are biblical principles will grow you into all that God wants. You can reach your capacity. Your marriage, how bad do you want that marriage? You fighting against them or are you fighting for them? What is it? Because all of us have dysfunction and struggle in our marriage because we're a bunch of dysfunctional, messed up people. But the grace of God says that I can through Christ Jesus and that all things are possible through Him and that I don't have to give up on my marriage. I don't have to give up on my future. I don't have to give up on my health. I can keep fighting and I can keep believing and I'm going to take that seed and I'm going to plant it in the ground and I'm going to receive the water from other Apollos in my life and people. But God, He is going to make it grow. He is going to make it happen.